Today, the public is expected to start receiving official instructions in the mail on how to fill out the 2020 census. It's the culmination of more than a decade's worth of planning. But there are complications. This national headcount is officially rolling out just as we're right in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic. NPR's Hansi Lo Wang has been covering this process, and we wanted to check in with him on the latest about all that's being done for this national count. Hansi joins us from New York. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Tanya.
So, Hansi, this is the first census that will be conducted primarily online, and that alone makes it unique. But it's also rolling out nationwide during this public health crisis, as I mentioned. How is the coronavirus affecting the Bureau's preparations?
Well, it's certainly complicating things for the Census Bureau that's already trying to prepare for technical changes. And right now, the Bureau says it is monitoring the situation very closely, and it is prepared to change its plans in any areas that are affected by a coronavirus outbreak, possibly delaying sending out census workers later on this year. But the main message the Census Bureau is sending right now is to encourage every household in the country to do the census on their own with minimal to no physical contact, because you can go to my2020census.gov. You can call a toll-free number, or you can fill out a paper form if you receive one, and that requires no contact, a physical contact with a Census Bureau person.
Can you remind us why every household is legally required to participate?
This is a constitutional mandate. If we look back at Article 1, Section 2, and then that's connected with the 14th Amendment, the Constitution requires a headcount of every person living in the country once every 10 years. The country has done this since 1790. And those numbers determine how many congressional seats and electoral college votes each state gets. So this is about how the country divides up power based on population. And that's population of every resident living in the country, regardless of citizenship status, regardless of immigration status. And these numbers are also used to distribute an estimated $1.5 trillion a year in funding for healthcare, Medicare, Medicaid, schools, roads. This is foundational information for the government, for businesses when they decide where to open up supermarkets. And there are laws that require every household to participate in the census.
Yeah, you mentioned immigration status, and we talked quite a bit about that when the subject of whether you are a U.S. citizen would come up on the census. It is not. But what is the Bureau trying to do to reach maybe those populations who do not have the documentation?
And just to be clear, that now blocked citizenship question did not ask about a person's immigration status. It only asked if a person was a U.S. citizen or not and how they gained that citizenship. But again, that question, like you said, is permanently blocked from being added to the 2020 census forms. But the Bureau has a major challenge of how to reach unauthorized immigrants, and the Bureau is under a legal mandate to count every person living in the country. And so it is trying to partner with local organizations, community groups with existing ties, what the Bureau calls trusted voices, because the Bureau understands that hearing a message from the government that you should be counted is not going to be as effective as hearing it from a local community leader, maybe your pastor, someone that you trust that you interact with daily to help explain how this information could be beneficial. There's one thing very important to point out, which is there's a lot of fear amongst folks about how the government could misuse this information. And it's important to remember that federal law prohibits the Census Bureau from releasing information identifying individuals for 72 years. The question is, will people trust the Trump administration to uphold those laws at a time where there's a lot of concern with increased immigration enforcement?
Hansi, what about some of those other historically undercounted groups, like communities of color?
There are specific challenges. For example, language access. The Bureau is allowing folks to respond to the census in 13 languages, but there are some languages that are not included. And so community groups are stepping up and trying to produce translations in languages that are not supported by the Census Bureau on their census forms. You know, another group that is undercounted as young children under the age of 5. One factor is that some children live in multiple homes, and so some families aren't quite sure where to count the children. And so this time around, the Census Bureau is adding extra languages prompts on the forms to encourage people, to remind people to make sure to note if there are any young children living in the household to make sure they are counted as well.
You mentioned time will tell in the next couple of weeks, those outreach efforts, whether or not the coronavirus will impact those efforts. But are you hearing in any way from the Bureau that they are making any immediate changes?
At this point, the Bureau says it's not making any major operational changes. But one thing to keep in mind here is that we're hearing reports that a lot of colleges and universities are making changes to class schedules. Some are asking students to leave their dormitories. And this has raised a big question of where college students should be counted for the census. The Census Bureau has confirmed to NPR that students living away from home should still be counted at their colleges, the location of their colleges, even if they are temporarily staying somewhere else because of the outbreak. The general rule for every person living in the country of where you should be counted for the census, it's where you usually live and sleep, regardless of where you are on April 1st. General rule there.
That's NPR's Hansi Lo Wong. Thank you so much for this update, Hansi.
You're welcome, Tanya.